Hello, my darlings. It's me, Anna Mann, actress, singer, organizer of other people's shelves. Mine are in a complete mess, but I love doing it for other people. Hello, my lovely friends, whoever ye may be. I hope you're lovely. You never know. You might not be. You might be some sort of vampire, as we used to call them, a creature of the night, a blood-sucking ghoul. I don't know. Sat in your tomb, listening to me waffle on about this and that and a bit of them. Probably enjoying yourself as you hear these tones. I hope I do anything to offend you. You might come after me with your razor sharp fangs and your hairy hands. But I'm sure most of you are lovely and have never killed or indeed drunk human blood. You might be, you know, walking. You might be jogging. You might be running. You might be sprinting. What comes after sprinting? You might have taken off. You might be flying. I don't know. I don't know what the limits of human ability are. I know we get some very fast people nowadays. I don't think anyone has quite reached velocity as such, but I don't know. I mean, often I flew a lot on the stage, you know, and back in the day when I was playing Titania. I was given a pair of these wonderful wings that were based on the designs of the wonderful Leonardo da Vinci, who, of course, you know, invented the Tower of Pisa and various other things. And if you can hear coughing next door, by the way, don't worry. It's just Mother. I brought her round for a bit. We've had a bit of an argument earlier. I won't lie. She was talking about Brexit again, I won't lie. And look, I don't want to get into a fight with any of the people out there, but I mean, I think the world is going to hell in a handcart. Let's not pretend it's not. And Mum, bless her, I know there's a lot of, oh gosh, there's so much more that goes into their way of thinking than just, you know, being sort of mad old racist. There's so much, there really is. And I'm not just talking about Brexit, Trump, all those people. And they've been left behind by the London elite. You know, they really have. I think there is some truth to that. That said, she is in that gang, you know, and there's no pretending she's not. And she takes pride in it to some degree. And good on her, you know. It's good to know who you are. I mean, I often struggle. I don't know who I am. What was I going to say? Yeah, so we had a little argument about Brexit. And what pissed me off, you know, we were talking about the environment, the end of the world, this Tory shit that's going on, the crazy people taking over. And she said, well, I don't see how it's my fault. Very defensive, immediately very defensive. I said, Mum, well, of course it's your fault. She said, well, I didn't do anything. I said, well, yes, you voted for all this madness. She said, well, why does that make a difference? I said, well, because everyone voted, darling. I don't call her darling. Everyone voted, not when we're having an argument. Because everyone voted, there was a vote, and you voted, and you voted silly, in my point, very silly. And then it's left us in quite a bad state, and it's getting worse. You know, we need to come together at the moment. The world is on fire, darling. There's a heat wave coming over from Europe, which, God, I like all the air. What did I say? I said, no, darling, they're not creating the heat wave. Well, you say that, she said. No, I did say that, and I meant it. Anyway, the point is, you did it because you voted for it, and stop pretending you didn't. And she goes, well, yes, I know I voted it, but I'm only one person, you see. I said, well, that's up for debate. Whether she's a person is what I mean, not whether she's one. There is only one of her, thank God, although I swear sometimes she's got a doppelganger. I often see her down on Portobello Road staring at me from a window. I don't know whether it's either her pretending to be someone else, or there is a doppelganger, or probably most likely it's one of the many cardboard cutouts that she used to put around London back in the day just to freak me out. You know, she's like that, bless her, she's like that. But no, she got very on her high horse. You know, I'm sick of you blaming me for doing this just because I voted for it. I said, what? I mean, there's one thing for people to do a silly thing, to make a mistake, you know, even if they still don't think it's a mistake. I don't mind that. Even if now they think, no, I did the right thing, stand by it. Well, you know, good on you. But what I cannot abide is people doing this reckless thing, which is, you know, buggered up the future for all of us. I mean, I definitely have blamed it for the last couple of years on me not getting any work, and my agent has as well. Whenever I call her up, she said, well, it's probably just Brexit, darling. That's why you're not getting any work. I said, well, are you sure? I mean, but anyway, it's annoying when they sort of somehow pretend, well, not me, Gov, you know, and you think, well, at least own it. Own your mistake. Anyway, I'm going off on one. Yes, so that's Mum, bless her. She's next door. She's probably still furious at me. In this episode, I'm chatting to another old friend of mine. You may have, if anyone bothered to listen last week, you may have heard me chatting to two lovely, lovely old ladies who we were in a band together back in the day. And this time, it's one of my old friends. He's not an actor, but he did dabble a little bit in pantomime at one point. He was actually a world-class darts player back in the 1980s, and we used to hang out quite a lot down at the Tittery Wappet. That was our haunt. He was a lot of fun. He had a lot of troubled times, he really did, but it's good to see him back on his feet. So now please prepare yourselves, if you can. I don't know how you prepare. Just shake off the day and get ready for this. You're ready for this. I wrote that. I know, but I did. I know, they say. Anyway, get ready for my chat with the really quite chumly, dazzling Mike Daly.
It has been so long, Anima.
It has been, what are we looking at, decades?
Oh, late 80s, last time we were together.
Oh, gosh, a lovely time, but a wonderful time for
wonderful
the world.
Wonderful time, well, peak careers then, weren't we?
Do you think when you know, sometimes, just to jump, when you think back to those times, so long ago, and yet gone in an instant. You know, one thing I was reading someone saying, you know, when you close your eyes, you could just be like 16 again. You know what I mean? You close your eyes, you're 16 again, then you open your eyes and you go, fuck, what? Those who can't see him, which is everyone, because unless you're looking at a picture of him, which would be strange, but Mike is, you're a larger gentleman, shall we say?
I've got a pack, a few quid.
Horny
you know
ball,
I mean? Yeah.
Shall we say? I've always called you the horny ball, Mike. I really know.
Well, I was the man's man. I was the man's man.
Still am the man's man. Very much a man's man. And women, they can sod off, am I right?
Yeah, I mean,
you love women.
I'm an 80s man.
You're an 80s
Anna,
guy.
You know me. So I haven't changed much. My philosophy's still the same, you know.
Exactly. And what's the philosophy, would you say?
Be that 80s man, you know.
Yeah,
just be,
sure. Find just that point where you find that point where you feel, yeah, this is me. This is who I am.
I didn't need,
because you weren't born like that, presumably, with the large belly and the moustache.
I was a very large baby. Do you know what
really?
I mean?
Oh well, gosh!
Yeah, I was
imagine.
A 14-pounder.
Oh wow! That must have been like dropping anchor or something.
Yeah,
Mum. You know?
Never forgive. Right,
she never
for
really forgave you for that. No, well, they don't. Mothers can be very unforgiving. You know,
she still goes on about it now. Like,
does
she's
she?
Well in her 80s. You
she
know what
must
I mean?
Be. She must be ancient. You,
my
yes.
brother was 25-pounder.
Was he?
He was a big lad.
He was a very big. So, Mike, Dazzling Mike Daly. Is it Dazzling Mike Daly?
Dazzling Mike Daly.
Dazzling Daly.
Mike Dazzling Daly, yeah.
So it's not Dazzling Mike Daly?
Mike Dazzling Daly.
So it's more like a call sign, like Top Gun or something.
Well, we do our sport. We have a middle. It's all about the middle name, you know what I mean?
The middle name, right. Yeah, okay. Yeah, and did you land on Dazzling?
Dazzling, I was all about the sequence. You know, I put a bit of razzmatazz into darts. Obviously, you know, Anna, you were around at that time.
And you did a lot of stuff for Daz, I think.
Daz Ultra,
day,
yeah, before right. before Danny Baker.
Did
you
that
know,
come
whiter
from...
than white, whiter than white. Before the whiter than whites, it was dazzling, yeah. white. You know, I used to knock on the doors before Danny Baker.
Yeah, and how they forget so quickly, don't they? They really do. So let's hear the Mike Daly story, Dazzling Mike Daly. You're currently doing a bit of a tour of Britain, aren't you?
Comeback tour, yeah. And it's been a first for that. You know, it's an absolute honour to be up there. You know, it's a living legends, you know, up there with Bernard Matthews, Chris de Burgh, and obviously myself. So.
All those wonders. And there's a bit of callback for that stuff nowadays.
Oh,
there is money in bringing these.
There's a lot of dosh on it. I mean, this is basically me pension. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I was not, you know, I was a few quid under. Do you know what
I
mean?
Did you think you'd be here? Was there a point where you felt, I'm never going to get to that. You know, this is it. I'm done. You know, I'm on the heap.
I was in the Amazon, away from this, you know, the toxic tabloid.
Sure.
nature of our entertainment industry.
You got away from it all.
I ran away. Yeah, I was on the run. I thought I killed a man.
Yeah,
I thought I killed a player with a dart. It turned out, until 18 years later, it just bounced off his belly.
Oh my god!
Not even a scratch on the. But you didn't even need a plaster.
Bless you. But 18 years. You were on the run.
I was on the run in exile
for a crime you didn't. Not only a crime you didn't commit, but a crime that didn't actually really happen.
Didn't happen. But they.
Did no one think to try and tell you?
Didn't know where I was. I just ran. I ran through Europe. I ran in France, Greece, in China. You know, and in Amazon in Peru.
That's where you ended shamans. Up. As far from your past as you could get.
Yeah.
My goodness. I mean, that you must have felt like Raskolnikov and Dostoevsky, Crime and Punishment. You know, you thought you'd done this thing, but actually you were completely blame-free. So we'll go back to the beginning, because I feel like that's the big part of the story we want to get to. But you started off humble Bristol,
yeah, humble.
Did we call you Bristolian?
Bristolian, yeah. We got
Bristolian, okay, yeah. All right. Okay,
West Country boy.
Yeah, and an only child.
Only child, yeah. Well, apart from Timmy came a few years.
Apart from your brother, yeah. Only child, apart from your brother, and that's what you. I think that's the first thing you described to me when we first met. I think.
But
you said I'm an only child apart from my brother. I did find that fun. I really did. Yeah. But then I realised you would. You're just titty a bit drunk.
I don't like to really mention Titty.
Yeah, well, he's a black mark on the family name.
He was.
So you grew up, it was you and Titty, and your mum, is that right?
Me, ma, yeah. Our dad left. It was obviously Dave, Dirty Dave Daly, was a darts player.
Darts player as well?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
why was he dirty?
Well, he took a bit of, he took a bit of cash, didn't he, for losing, bit dodgy it was. He used to always go down in the third leg.
How did that feel? So he was a what do you call it? He swung the match. Is that the phrase?
Because I'm not sporting. He swung it. Yeah,
he swung it. Right,
illegal betting going
window.
On. Yeah, it was terrible timing. Right, it was a lot of
for money, right?
For Dosh, yeah.
Sure. Okay. I mean, I've swung a couple of plays in the past. For money, you know, and I'm ashamed of myself for doing it actually, but you wouldn't get away with it nowadays. But way back in the 80s when we were performing, you know, particularly with Shakespeare and stuff like that, you would get these people who would, you know, you'd see them just before the performance, you know, they'd often be wearing a long coat in the darkness, a cigarette, you know, the real archetypal sort of lurking man in the shadow. He'd come out to you and go, "All right, darling," you know, and you go, "Hello, just excuse me, I need to get to the dressing room." And he'd go, yeah, about that. I'd really like to see if Iago won this time. And you're like, right, okay, well, you know, I mean, plays don't really work like that. You know, they've been written, you know, no, yeah, but I'm sure for me, darling, you could, I'm sure for a couple of these big ones.
And it's a big ones, yeah.
Flash a couple of 50s in your eyes, like that.
Back then, yeah.
A flash of, like, lightning, but £50 notes. And you go,
slapping a
fuck, right, I could really do with that. You know, because, I mean, I was well in debt to this theatre before I'd even, my wage packet had come in, you know, because I kept burning it down. I mean, but that's a whole other story. But the point is, I would have to throw a play, you know? And some of the actors, so we get to that point, you know, not Iago, that's a wrong, because I never played Iago, but Lady Macbeth, for example, who I played many, 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 many times, often downstairs at the Tittery Wappet, but sometimes in bigger places, you know, like upstairs at the Tittery Wappet, which was a good 12-seater.
Fantastic.
You know, so we were packing them in back then. And I remember this guy got me to throw the play, and he said to me, "All right, darling," you know, this always "all right, darling," you know. And obviously I say, "All right, darling," but they mean it more in a kind of, somehow it's underhand, darling.
Max Clifford, was he?
Yes,
is it
Max we're Clifford, in that ballpark. We're in the Max Clifford sort of, if it's a school, this is the Max Clifford classroom. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
And they would say, "All right, darling, I'd love it if Lady Macbeth didn't convince Macbeth to kill the king this time."
That's amazing.
And you go, well, I mean, oh, that's completely crazy. I mean, you know, if that happens, then Macbeth doesn't kill the king never dies, and the rest of the play is essentially null and void. But then they flash the 50s, and you go, fuck, all right, we'll do it this once, you know? And I did it, and I wasn't the only one. I remember Sue Clinch, you know, bless her, back in the day, when she was very hard up, you know, because I well, I mean, I'd be honest, I was writing her checks back then, but that's another, she doesn't know, that's fine, she doesn't listen to this. But Sue was very hard up, and they, yeah, she threw quite a few back in the day. But, and I only did it once, and it was Lady Macbeth, and I came on, and there's that scene where Macbeth, you know, and she says, I mean, God, it's been years, I can barely remember the lines, but she basically says to him, you know, Macbeth, do it, kill the king, take this dagger, you know, and all this, unsex me here, and all that stuff. And instead I say, he's about to go, should I do it? You know, if it were done, then twitly, you know the line? If twere done, then when it were done, twitwell it were done twitly. You remember that? That's a famous line. And then I came on and went, oh, actually, Macbeth, it's fine. Don't, and he said, you know, and the actor at the time, I think it was, who was it? It was Barry Chairs. Barry Chairs, you know, who funnily enough looked like a chair, weirdly, because he was all, you know, just sort of the shape of his body kind of did this weird sort of chair shape. Barry Chairs, I haven't thought about him for years. He was playing Macbeth, and he turned around to me, just look like of abject horror on his face. Mm, and he's holding the dagger. The king is in the next room. You know,
blimey,
about to be slaughtered. And I ran back in. Oh, Macbeth, no, sorry, change of plan, don't do it. He looks at me completely, but he will not break character, you know, because you can't at that point.
Yeah,
looks at me completely ashen, and then he has to just go along with it. Okay, he says, I won't, but in shape, you know, okay. So
Shakespeare.
Yeah, surely my fair wife, but we cannot but slay the king, for surely this beeth your, you know, all this stuff. And I'm like, no, it's fine, don't do it. Inside, you know, I can almost feel Bill Shakes breathing down my neck, just going, Anna, what are you doing? What, you have tested me before, Anna, but you're really fucking pushing it this time. And I had to say, in my mind, I had to go, Bill, I need those 50s, you know? I really need those 50s. And silence his voice, then we just carried on with the play. And actually, we got to the end somehow, the fifth act, and no one had died by the end. And I think it made it such a positive piece.
What were the reviews?
Because there's so many... What were the reviews like?
What were the reviews?
Well, I mean, they were aggressive. They were angry. There was a sort of, nowadays you'd have an online petition, but back then it was more like a sort of, you know, gathering of a lynch sort of mob. And I had to be escorted all the way out of the theatre by the other actors who were angry at me as well, of course, you know, but they were all armed with, unfortunately, all armed with fake swords. So, you know, they were taken to pieces by this angry mob of reviewers. You know, cause back then, reviewers, not like nowadays, back then, reviewers were tough. You know, they were rugby player types, you know. To review back in the late 70s was to, you know, was like to punch someone, really. It was more like boxing than writing down in a paper.
You would think that all this happens.
I know, you wouldn't think fuck, it was to be an actor was like to be a wrestler or something, or, you know, because you're wrestling with the script.
Of course.
You know, which isn't as hard as a huge man, but it's, well, it can be. I mean, it depends on the script. Anyway, yeah, so I threw that play.
And how did it feel? Do you regret it?
I felt awful at the time. I really did. But like I say, the play went very positively. And I just thought, I don't know. I don't know if I'm mad. I know Shakespeare's been around for hundreds of years. He's been dead 500 years, you know, which, I mean, who'd think it? I'd never have thought
God rest
that.
His soul.
Bless him. It still shocks me when I remember that. But I genuinely came out thinking, that's actually a much nicer play. I think I prefer it. So your dad threw a darts match, and that brought a sort of shame on the family.
Oh, it did. Yeah, it was terrible.
How was Mum with that?
Mum was very traumatic. You know, it was she loved him deep down, but what he did was a disgrace to the whole community, to the darts community.
That's so hard.
And he I never saw him again. Really, I think he buggered off when I was six.
Oh gosh, he was just gone.
Mum had to survive. You know, she had to bring ends meet. And
She had to bring meat.
Ends meat.
So what was it she did for a living, Mike? What was, I mean, well, how that, did she...
Well, she had a company called Ends Meat.
Oh, but oh Ends goodness. Meat. Oh, yeah, right. Like the company was called Ends Meat.
Ends Meat. Well, oh, like, because it's Ends Meat. Got to bring in Ends Meat.
So what she...
She, you know, hot dogs, you know, tins of hot dogs, which is probably you would have had in the green room back in the 70s.
Oh, God,
70s.
We used to scoff. We get through hundreds. Yeah. I mean, back in the day, it was just a table. Now we used to get crisps and stuff, but back in the day, you just have a table of hot dogs.
Hot dogs, yeah, in the tins.
Oh, God, in the tins.
So you might have thought, well, the brine of these hot dog tins, you know, a tin of hot dogs, it's a waste.
Yeah, sure. Well,
and this is an old wives' tale or granny tale. My nan used to use the brine to clean things. So she set up a business.
Oh, did she really?
She did. That's so charming. She used to clean everything with it. You know what
I'd love to speak to your nan if I could.
She's obviously.
Oh, she's gone. She died.
Probably 150 now.
Oh, cripey. Yeah, crikey. Well, maybe I could try. Well, I'll try and speak to her tonight.
She's a cracking lady.
I can imagine.
A very imaginative. She used to ferment brine and it used to turn into alcohol. Yeah.
So you were very brine family, briny sort of family. And what did she do with the brine? She cleaned.
She used to use it as put it in a spray. And clean it. She used to do clean windows.
And did it work?
Not door to door. It's called Shine with Hot Dog Brine. You knock on the doors and go, "Hey, Mrs. Peaky."
Really?
I got this product here. It's called Shine with Hot Dog Brine.
Yeah, yeah.
You can clean anything. You know, clean the carpets. You can clean the windows.
And did it clean it?
It sort of did it. Oh, me ma, I didn't know what was going on. Yeah, she wasn't making that much money. But they always stank of brine. We used to have hot dogs every night. Yeah.
So it may have cleared a bit of dirt off, but at the price you paid for it was not worth it. You were stinking out that entire.
It was stinking. I stank. I was perspirating.
So that must have been tough.
It was tough.
So anyway, but then you get into the world of darts.
Yeah, I had no choice. I've got to make something of my life. Let's get out of this.
Probably other things you could have done, but you.
Well, darts. I want to be like daddy, I suppose. You know what I mean? Mum, I've always said, don't do it. But I did. You know, I had to.
Isn't it? Sometimes the more they push you to say, don't do it, the more you do it. You know, my mum was the same. She was like, you'll never be an actress. You know, you'll never get anywhere because you look awful and you sound horrific and you're acting. When you try and act, it's like watching sort of seals fucking. That's what my mum said.
So she was quite a positive woman then.
Well, she, I mean, it was her version of an affirmation, but she, I mean, you've got to remember that she had a tough childhood. You know, she was brought up awfully. I mean,
in Dickensian times, wasn't it?
Something like that, probably even before that. You know, she was brought up in a bag a lot of the time. She was brought up in a bag, you know, and I don't mean a nice bag. I don't mean a handbag. I mean a sacking cloth. She would just be carried from place to place and displayed, you know, because she had because of the fingers, you know, she had all those fingers everywhere, just sprouting from all over her, you know. And I think that started her off bad in life. But anyway, so I got into acting. But this is about you. So you got into darts. You went to London, I understand.
Moved up to London, in Woolwich. I hung out in Woolwich there, and it was there I played, you know, with amongst us, the working classes. Right. It was rough. It was, you'd walk in a pub, you know. I'm talking to pubs that you probably wouldn't go in today, you know.
Right.
Where the landlady, if she didn't know you, would turn around and... You know, look at you in the eye and go, fuck off.
Right. Oh, gosh.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Yes, fuck off.
And not in a kind of like, fuck off, I love what you're wearing.
But oh, no. You might interpret it.
I might interpret it.
But
when that makes me think, a lot of the times people have sort of shouted fuck off at me, I think I've always interpreted it as a compliment. Still, I've had a happy life. Do you know what I mean? You can either kill Macbeth or you can either kill the king, or you can let him live, and maybe not as good a play, but it's a happier ending. And then eventually you got noticed, and you started to play professionally.
Professionally. I was 16 years old. I was the youngest ever player to win the Freebentos Cup, which was about 17.4 million viewers on BBC Two
in 1988. That's wonderful. Yeah. It's wonderful, these little accolades. You know, I was the oldest person to ever play Heidi.
Really?
Yeah, I was 42. Didn't work. Very bizarre piece, you know, just this German swine girl played by a 42-year-old woman. And I think if I was one of those ones who looked like a young person, it might have made more sense. But as But I think, I mean, it was my own production. I just always thought I'd be good at it, you know. It was the first play I wanted to do when I was six.
Have you done panto before? Are you in the pantomime?
Pantomime? Oh, fuck yes, of course, of course. That's I normally played, you know, the lovely, the young, you know, I'd be Peter Pan or whatever, you know, dressed
that's
up
interesting,
as a boy,
that's,
that sort of thing.
So you'd fly, so you'd...
Fly around, you know. I mean, the thing is with panto, you're doing it day after day, night after night, you know, constantly. And you forget what is going on. Because you're there and you're going, did I say that bit? It's wonderful. You know, you'll come off and you'll go, hang on a minute. You know, because you've done it 100 times. You know, you've got the lines in your head. And then you get off stage and you go, fuck, I can't remember whether I said any of that.
It's
you
know,
you'd always have that feeling.
Panto.
But of course, later on, you speak to someone and go, fuck, I feel like I didn't say any of the lines there. You know what I mean? And often they'd say, no, you didn't.
It was because in that, you know, panto's mental, especially in the 80s, it was what?
Did you do panto?
I did 1989, yeah, with Jim Bowen and Jeremy Beadle. Yeah, Jim Bowen and Jeremy Beadle.
Oh, the three amigos. What panto was it?
It was Aladdin.
It was Aladdin.
I was the genie.
You were the genie. Who was Jim?
Who was Jim again? Jim was Aladdin.
Oh, because he did a very good Arab.
Yeah, he did. He did. You know,
he could do a very good Arab.
Ooh,
he really could.
Fly me magic carpet.
Yes,
ooh.
Yes. It really was. You close your eyes and, you know, you'd squint a bit and you'd go, wow, that's an actual Arab prince I'm looking at.
Yeah. Ooh.
I mean, you don't think it to look at him now. When you watch him on Bullseye, you know, and he's this sort of strange little old northern man. You know, bless him. He was wonderful. But, you know, you do not see an Arabian prince. Stick a man in some curly shoes and stick him on a magic carpet. And wow, you know.
He twisted it with his own bullseye lingo. He said, for the time it takes for the genie to come out of the lamp.
Yes.
You know, you've got to decide.
Fun.
What, you know, and it's... You know, it was magnificent.
Oh, God, that was fun.
Jeremy Beadle was, of course, people of Bullseye, you know, in the 80s. He was dressed up as Bully, and they didn't know it was Bully, and he'd reveal himself.
Oh, it's Jeremy Beadle.
Yeah, Jeremy Beadle. Oh!
And you were the genie, and the genie
I was genie.
And what would you would come on and throw darts?
I would throw darts. I'd come out with a dart
out
and just throw
lamp.
Darts.
Oh, wonderful.
And throw darts into the audience, and, you know, just some of the kids had to go A&E because
of course,
of course, stabbed.
Yeah.
But that was, you know, they knew that it was a big sign of darts will be thrown at children.
Yeah, sure. I mean, if you've explained that's going to happen, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And Equity were all right with it, or they signed it off.
You've got to. I remember when I was in, you know, Midsummer Night's Dream. It was a northern version to Midsummer Night's Dream. You know, I was flying around as a fairy at one point over the crowd. You know, and I would kick them in the face. You know, constantly. You know, because because it was a very low ceiling. And my legs are very long. My feet are just gigantic, obviously, as you can see. No. So I would just be flying around, just whacking these guys in the face.
Right.
But we put a sign up. People would come up afterwards, and they go, you know, you just kicked my son in the face during that bit. And there was a sign up. I don't know, what do you want me to do?
What can you do? It's
people are awful, aren't they, sometimes?
They
are wonderful. They're different. They're all special in their own way. But they are rank.
They are. I mean, that's what they're like. They come like the darts. They come to see a match, and sometimes if I lose my shit, I'll be throwing darts into the crowd.
Yeah,
because it's like baseball or whatever, cricket.
Do you find mobile phones as a problem in the darts hall?
Well, I've only played obviously thrown exhibition matches, but they are. You get kids coming along now. It's not like it used to be. Now you get the 8-year, 9-year-olds.
And will they just
be
texting while you're
texting?
Tweeting?
It's sort of this Love Island generation just snogging and just texting, and they just don't respect the game anymore. I don't know what happens in the theatre, but is that what
goes
on?
It's awful. It's awful. It's awful. The amount of times I've had to snatch someone's phone off them, even if they haven't taken it out of their pocket. You know, if I can just even get a slight, because it really pisses us off. You know, if I get to a point, if I can just see a sort of phone-shaped bulge in someone's pocket, I will get in that pocket. I'll rip out that phone. I will smash it to pieces on the stage, and I'll go, this is fucking Bill Shakes you're watching right now.
That's respect.
Have a bit of respect, you know? And that's I think I'm okay to do that. I think I'm in...
But an 80s audience wouldn't do that. They'd sit there with respect.
They wouldn't, because they didn't have a mobile phone.
Yeah.
And they were better people. I mean, worse in many ways, but better in other ways.
Really worse.
You know?
They meant well.
And everything stunk of fags.
Everything, well, fags,
oh,
peanuts,
fags,
just
scotch eggs.
Scotch eggs, pork pies.
Oh,
it was... But that was sometimes I miss those moments. I wish we can go back to that.
And also, when once they get rid, it's like when they took all the fags out of pubs, and all I could smell was balls. Do you know what I mean? And that's too many fags will kill you, but too many balls do not. What's that saying? Stinky balls. Stinky balls in my pub. And put me off my pina colada or something like that.
Yeah, sticky bubs, sticky balls, sticky heart.
Anyway, so there you are. Big day at the Cup. What was it? What was the champion?
1988. Frey Bentos, world champion.
Frey Bentos. Yeah, the wife. Lucky darts.
Lucky darts.
Are you superstitious about the darts?
I have. I always finish on double two, as the fans would know.
Do you have a particular set that's your
The silver, me silver plated, but I've got the platinum range. The gold range is made out of platinum,
right?
Platinum clock, the little
platinum clock,
carriage clock. It's a carriage clock collection. It's like there's a dart like shaped like a carriage clock,
like oh, right, only well, like. Just, like the whole clock.
Yeah, it's a clock, but with like a little. It's a little bit.
Can
thick.
You throw it?
You can. That's what I said. It's the Clarice clock.
But it takes. I mean, it's more like chucking a brick or something, is it?
A little bit. It gives it weight, and you can get more.
Sure.
Yeah, it's Clarice clock.
So, you got your darts. You win the. What was it? The Frey Bentos.
Frey Bentos Cup. Oh, wonderful. Yeah, it was the best. Lovely. Best day of my life. 16. Wow.
And then you
16.
Ate the pie afterwards. Did you?
Oh, you could try. Yeah, I ate the pie. It was minced beef and onion.
Oh God, you're making me.
Hungry, I know. So a lot.
So you're top of your game. You're married. You've got your
everything's going well. It's
but then things go a bit wrong. Do you want to relay the incident? What happened there?
Well, I got a bit. I was
this
well, what
final match with. Hang on, Frank Cochran.
Frank Cochran. Yeah, I went. Look, at that time, you know what it's like. I'm sure it's at the peak of your career. It all goes to your head. You got money rolling in. Do you know what I mean? I didn't know what to do with myself, and I went off. I mean, it was the Alphabet Spaghetti Darts Award ceremony. Me, Jim Bowen. Went a little bit loony. We drank too much. You know, we maybe shouldn't have. You know, Debbie McGee was trying to cop up with me. I was embarrassment. This was on telly. Paul Daniels was getting aggressive with me. Jim Bowen and Paul Daniels were fighting. It was a disaster. The news of the world, front of the page. Me, Jim Bowen, Paul Daniels, Jerry McGee, all on a floor
just
fighting.
Mixed up like a sort of like a big sort
fun.
Of.
And it was an absolute disgrace.
Satanic
orgy. Yeah, it was. It was a weird sort of. God. They thought Paul Daniels was doing some kind of trick.
Yeah,
or
sure. Trying to turn you into one of them or something. Or turn
into a dove.
One of you.
Whatever. I don't know what was going to do. Yeah, it was very strange.
Horrendous. And then.
My world came fell apart. You know, I was too much. My wife couldn't take it. She dumped me. And then, of course, God. The big final in 1992 with Frank Cochran. The little cheeky sod. Showed was whispering in my ear in the final. I slept with your wife.
I slept with your
wife.
Oh God.
Yeah, he did.
And not just sleeping, I take it.
No, it was a little bit more. Yeah.
Actual fucking.
Yeah, he said, "I've been in the shower with your wife."
Oh Jesus.
I banged your wife. Yeah, I tickled her. Fuck. It's disgusting.
An actual fucking.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably oral.
Probably. Well, he was a big lad. He was a very old lad. I don't know. Can we not going to get me up? You're going to get me going.
Sorry.
In a minute, Anna. Sorry. I don't want to go in. I don't know what they did, but whatever they were doing, they're in my water bed doing it. Who does that in a water bed?
You're probably definitely oral.
Whatever. But he's a big lad. If you've seen Frank Cochran, this he was 28 soon. I mean,
was he?
On my water bed.
But she was going for that, I take it. She liked that kind of thing.
Well, obviously, because there was no more water in. Left in the bloody bed when I got back.
They'd sunk. They'd sunk into your waterbed.
Yeah.
You must have been heartbroken.
I was heartbroken. I was furious.
So you were.
And I was so angry. And he showed me Polaroids. He showed me a Polaroid of them in my bed.
Oral?
During the game. I think she was sort of.
Probably oral.
I wouldn't say it was 69. It was more 33. If that makes sense. Because they were sort of. I don't know what I'm not really.
Isn't that just kissing?
No, because their bodies were just sort of.
That's spooning.
It's like.
That's spooning. Isn't it? But is one of the threes upside down?
Yeah, there's like.
Three. Right, put it this way. Has one of the threes got a cock?
Yeah.
Right.
So it was like three, one three's the other way. So it was like.
Two threes, but the wrong way. Yeah. Like Russian threes.
Yeah, so it was like they were.
But one's got a cock.
Yeah.
Okay, I think I've done that. Yeah.
Sure. 33. No, I have done that. I have done that. Oh, gosh. Oh, God, I'm remembering now. Oh, that was fun. Yes. Okay. Sorry, I was just going
I'm,
back.
I'm open it.
Hang on. Yes, that was lovely. That was lovely. So really going at it, and you saw all the evidence.
Oh, well, I was furious. It was
probably oral.
18.9 million viewers watching.
Oh, know. What, seeing them fuck?
Well, if they could see it, I mean...
Oh, they could see the Polaroid... Well, oh, no, the darts match, 18.9 viewers. Yeah, I thought you meant for a second they'd come and watch them at it. Oh, you must have felt terrible.
And then I did what any man would do. I grabbed my dart and I threw a dart in.
At Frank?
At Frank, and he fell to the ground. He looked dead. As far as I knew, he was dead. And I had to get away. I went on the run. Mm. Someone called the police. The police were there, and I ran. I was gone.
Then you're living out in the middle of nowhere, right?
I was
18 years, was it?
You were 18 away? Years 18 in the Amazon. Years. I was like,
finally in the Amazon.
Yeah.
Fuck.
I could suppose
as far away as you could get.
I was basically the Tom Hanks castaway,
sure,
but in the Amazon. Yeah,
sure. And did you, but you still lost no weight. I find that
the belly remained and has always remained. Yeah.
Good on you. Good on you, kid.
Even though I weigh 10 stone now, the belly's still there. It's just there.
So what do you think of the belly's just empty? Is it just
it
like
feels empty. It's like an empty box. You know what I mean? You could kind of... Right.
It's literally like a balloon. It's not...
The structure of it.
There's nothing in there.
Nothing in there.
Yeah. That is remarkable.
It's weird.
It's remarkable. I mean, it looks great. I'm looking at it now and it's absolutely gorgeous. It really is. It really... And I don't mean that patronizingly. I genuinely think that's something worth...
Oh, thank you very much.
I like it.
Not many people say that, actually.
I wish I had one. To be honest, I'd give anything for that, because it's a sort of, because it's not you know, that's not just misuse, that's its own little thing, isn't it?
It's a thing. It's a freak show. I mean, I don't want it. It's
good
it's
on your
kid. Me belly, you know.
But then 15, 16, 18, 19, how many years later was it?
Well, 18 years later.
18 years later.
News of the World offered me £500.
Wow.
To come back and tell my story. And when you get offered money like that, to be honest, that 500 quid... didn't cover the flights, but
no, sure,
yeah,
sure.
You know, they're expensive, these flights,
yeah.
But
to Britain,
back to
and another match with Frank.
I
do you think it's on the cards?
There's rumors. I Frank, if you're listening out there, let's do it.
You're gonna go for a rematch because Frank hadn't died, it had barely,
yeah, that's the story. He said Frank hadn't died, it was a dart that bounced off his belly,
he just fell over,
he tripped. Basically.
I think there's a lesson here in not jumping to conclusions.
Yeah, but
I know, I don't want to make you feel bad for those 18 years, but I think, you know, if something like that happens again, probably just check.
Before going Amazon, yeah.
Definitely.
In fact, he was fine, he was up.
You're a man of passion, you act, you know, you're visceral, that's what I love about you, you're pure viscera. But just check next time. That's hopefully there won't be a next time. All right, well, good luck.
Pleasure.
In your tour. Of the show. Where is the show going to be appearing first?
Well, the Edinburgh Festival.
Oh, wonderful. Tell that's this year. Very
this year, yeah. The Assembly Rooms.
You're going to be up there telling your story.
Yeah.
That's so exciting.
Mike Daly, Darts and All.
Mike
to compliment
Daly,
the book.
Darts and All. Where's that going to be on?
At the Assembly Rooms.
The Assembly Rooms. Mike Daly, Darts and All. And who knows, maybe we'll get that rematch with old Frank. Mike Daly, lovely to speak to you.
Thank you,
Keep on dazzling.
Bye.
Dazzling Mike Daly there. What a lovely chat that was. I enjoyed it and I hope you did too. It was a wonderful trip down memory lane for the both of us. Well, that's it for today. I'm needed next door. Mother's getting... Oh, she's really kicking off. I can hear her scratching the walls. I don't know if you can hear that, but she's deliberately grown her nails again, which is terrifying. It really is. It's like a honey badger coming at you, you know, but an 80 whatever she is, a year old one, that's also a person, arguably, and also, you know, very aggressively, really quite racist, let's not lie, and a honey badger, and the claw. It's a nightmare, darlings, it really is, and I can't wait for someone to take her off my hands. It's been rough. It really has. I'm not at Sir Peter Runways anymore, by the way. Some of you might have been wondering. I did manage... We're actually in... Well, I won't lie. We're both in the care home. I've managed to sort of sneak in next door to her. I have to pretend quite a lot of the day that I am the woman who lived in the room.
who actually escaped. Good honour, quite right. It's an awful place, and the dinners are disgusting. But, you know, a little bit of makeup, a little bit of a wig, just tussle my hair and scream some stuff, and they are fooled. I mean, some of the staff here haven't got a bloody clue. They really haven't. So, if anyone asks, I'm actually Trudy Del Monte, is her name. By all accounts, a lovely lady, and it's been a lot of fun playing her. I always find when you're acting literally for survival, slash, you know, a roof over your head and a meal or and the odd cleanup, which is lovely, it really brings out your skills, you know, it really sharpens the edge of your talent, and suddenly you find, fuck, if only I could do this on stage, on television, in films, or anywhere, you know, because, I mean, I don't get me wrong, I mean, I've done some wonderful stuff, I really have, but nothing this real. So, yes, Mum's in next door. I'm here. I'm not sure she's 100% clocked what I'm up to. As far as the care assistants know, I am Trudy. Hang on. No, it's all right. I've got the family are visiting later. We'll see how that goes, see if I get away with it. God, I really hope so. I do not want to go back to Sir Peter's house again. I really do. He was really starting to stink. So anyway, I'll be back next week chatting to someone else, I imagine. Probably just chatting to myself if I can't find anyone. Now, do look out for Dazzling Mike Daly up at the Edinburgh Fringe if you're there. He was brought, of course, by the wonderful Jodie Kamali, who is also a wonderful, a very fine actor and a very kind soul, actually. That's Mike Daly, darts and all, up at the Edinburgh Fringe this August, if you're going, or even if you're not going. Just buy a ticket anyway. It's not going to hurt, is it? Well, it will cost you, but fuck it. You've got loads of money, you. Not you. Before I go, I just... Oh, fuck, Mum's on a motorbike outside. Mum's on a motorbike! Unbelievable. Unbelievable, this place. Anyway, the one thing I'd just like to say before I go is oh gosh, there she goes again. She's doing wheelies. She's doing bloody wheelies outside. Unbelievable. Someone's getting on the back. It's one of the nurses. She's doing a runner again. God, I hate that woman. Anyway, I'd just like to say hello to a dear friend who I know listens to the podcast all the time and has sent me some really lovely texts about it, and I know it brings her a little bit of joy and comfort, and then if it comes to nothing else other than that, then that's something, isn't it? So hi to Mandy, who are one of the dearest souls I know, and God bless you, my darling. Oh gosh, don't you go, darlings, because if you do, I will. I mean, I won't be able to see you because you'll listen to this later, but you know what I mean. Anyway, do check out the Instagram. I'm on there, Anaman Actress, and also, of course, Colin Holt Comedy. Colin Holt is sort of the Steve Rogers to my Captain Anaman America. And do check out tpublic.com. We're up to 2 t-shirts now. Could be a third any time now, which would bring me in a whopping $6. I'm going to be appearing... Oh, Bush Hall! Bush. Never been able to say that right. It's really been the bane of my life. I won't lie. It genuinely upsets me. Bush Hall. Bush. Here we go round the Mulberry Bush. That's it. Bush Hall in London. Have asked me to come on. A week on Friday. I've having a bit of a relaxing week. No gigs this week, which is actually quite nice. So a week on Friday, I'll be at Bush Hall with Stuart Lee, Josie Long, all that sort of gang. So it's very exciting, you know, because I think they're finally sort of starting to accept me. Not quite, but, you know, I'm almost. And my gig in Brighton, which I had to cancel. I had to kindle my gig last week due to, I mean, I won't lie, throwing up from every end. And I'm back. It's back. It's on the 12th of July. At Junkyard Dogs, Edward Street in Brighton. And the last one was incredible fun. I'm trying to get some wonderful special guests, but to be honest, if I don't, I'm the best thing there. Come on, let's be honest, I am. Anyway, my darlings, all hail Cthulhu, And I will speak to ye soon. Goodbye, darlings. It's me, Anna Man. Bye.